This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Today, Israel is poised for Hezbollah to enter the war as Biden promises to veto the latest House bill sending Israel aid, and the Sam Bankman-Fried verdict is in. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I'm joined today by Blaze TV contributor Eric July, also founder of Ripaverse Comics, and Stuper Gear, host of Stu Does America, which you can find right here on Blaze TV. So the House of Representatives just approved, with the help of 12 Democrats, I would say, 12 Democrats along with Republicans, approved sending $14.3 billion in federal aid to Israel. This was a vote that was 226 to 196 yesterday. Like I said, 12 Democrats joining Republicans in order to pass the bill. And, you know, you heard Speaker Mike Johnson. I don't know why I can't just say Speaker Johnson. I feel like I have to say Mike Johnson every time. But Speaker Johnson said, we're not going to, if we send anything to Israel, we're going to cut it from somewhere else. We're not just going to pull in new funds. We're going to take the funds from somewhere else and reallocate it. And it looks like he is following through on that so far. So they say that the funding will be reallocated from money that was meant for the IRS in Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. There were two Republicans who voted against the bill, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey. And Biden, of course, had already said that he would veto a standalone Israel aid bill. I don't know why, if you say that you, I know what Eric would say, but I'm saying if you're Joe Biden and you're the White House and you say Israel is our ally and you've already given billions and billions and billions of dollars to Israel for years now, I don't know why you would say I'm going to veto this bill because it's a standalone bill. If you truly had Israel's best, you know, you had the best intentions for Israel, I don't know why you would do that. Now, I am going to toss it to you guys. I do know exactly where Eric's going to go, and I don't disagree with him. But Eric, please go ahead.
Yeah, there's a reason why Massey voted against it. To me, the only I'm gonna leave that one alone. He's the only one of those guys that are in the House of Representatives or the Senate that's actually worth a crap. I mean, unless you want to add Rand Paul, that's in there. Of course, he's gonna look at it from the spending perspective and the fact that we continue to give billions of dollars in aid to countries that aren't ours. I completely understand. Two things can be true, Sarah.
Exactly.
Two things
right.
can be true.
Yes.
They're stuck, and they have their own intentions. 100%.
It's not like they dislike spending.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So that two things can be true, considering that, well, they all were kind of in on the money that they gave to Ukraine. The fact that you got a bill that seems to more so focus on one specific issue, which I think everybody should find more preferable than piling everything in one bill like they historically do anyway, and then voting on it or whatever. So that's not the issue or the fact. I would say this. It's way more of an issue if the problem that Joe Biden or the Democrats have is that, well, we can't lump everything else in there with it. That shouldn't even be a part of the problem. But, you know, considering the history of the last couple of years, well, if you want to talk about foreign aid, we can go last decades. At one point when you say, yeah, no, people are always going to point to what happened before that, then what happened before that, and what happened before that. Everybody's minds focus on what happened with Ukraine. So in the event you cut off anything to Israel, people are going to say, well, we just gave all them all this money. Mm-hmm. And they're less of an ally than what an Israel is in fact, the point that people are going to make. So there's no winning there. at all. But yeah, to your point, Democrats are not against this, and Joe Biden certainly isn't against this because of spending. If there's anybody money that I would prefer, any institution that I would prefer not be getting money, it's absolutely the IRS, because it shouldn't exist in the first place. But I'd, of course, I mean, maybe it's the easy way out. I prefer to just keep my damn money in the first place, because they shouldn't have had it. Right. So when we talk about if we're going to talk about the perfect case scenario, if we want to reallocate funds, how about the people that were stolen from keep it, and y'all don't ever get your greasy hands on it? Yeah. How about reallocate it back to my pockets? But that can't happen. It's already gone.
How about that? Just no allocation?
Yeah, there we go.
So we don't need to re.
Yeah, how about no allocation?
We don't need to add re onto allocation, because it's just my money that I earned, and I just keep it because it's my money, and taxation is theft.
Yes.
Maybe that's a crazy idea.
I know.
You know, look, if I had to choose between sending money to Israel, really for any purpose, and sending it to the IRS, I would choose Israel.
Yeah. I can understand that.
But look, if you're going to send money to Israel, it makes sense to pay for it with a bunch of waste from another department.
Right.
That's a sensible approach. If you're going to spend that money anyway, it is. Also, obviously, the reason they're doing this and the reason they're opposing this bill is because they want their money for Ukraine and 57 mm-hmm. other things, right? Mm-hmm. We all know you guys really want to give money to Israel. So we need to tie that to the things that we want, too, so we get all of it. I mean, it's a disgusting approach. I mean, even if you just go pragmatically, the first $6 billion to go to Israel in the middle of a war is a lot more vital than the 300 to 320th billion that go to Ukraine, right? I get that, even if you support those efforts, it doesn't make much sense to withhold it to Israel, unless, of course, you're just trying to scam people out of even more money for your pet projects. And that does seem, because it's not even just Ukraine. There's mm-hmm. 20 other things they're trying to fund with the same money and tying it all together. So, Israel has a right to defend itself. They're the one country that doesn't seem to want us to be throwing our troops over there, and I respect that quite a bit. But I would rather, I don't mind selling arms to Israel, right. And I think that's the better approach. Even if you're putting it on a card that they may never pay back, at least there's some idea that we don't just give things away constantly and get involved in war after war after war. Because, I'm a guy who really cares about spending. The Republicans gave up caring about this, I don't know how long ago. I mean, they never really cared about it, but they used to give at least lip service. The past, 7 or 8 years, they haven't even given lip service to it. But I do. I really do care about it. We bring on budget experts all the time and talk about what level of hell we're currently in. Eighth level of hell, below the seventh level. But when it comes to this stuff, my concern of spending is actually secondary. I am concerned that Joe Biden is going to get us into World War III. Mm-hmm. He has absolutely no ability to do anything competently. And the fact that he keeps inserting himself into hot zone after hot zone after hot zone is, there's a likely cause and effect going on there. Eventually, he's going to piss off one of these people who is the opponent of whatever proxy we're supporting. And at the end of the day, we're going to wind up on the other end of a bunch of explosions. And I really don't want that to happen. I've got kids to raise here and mm-hmm. don't want to raise them in the middle of World War III.
So then the latest reporting that shows that Hezbollah is threatening escalation with Israel, and the Wall Street Journal reporting that Russia's Wagner Group plans to send air defenses to Hezbollah. Does that excite you or not excite you?
I'm going to go negative on that one.
Really? Escalating to World War III, you're still not a fan of?
No, I remain on the record opposing it. Yes, and look, Israel absolutely has the right to do something here. They were attacked.
Yeah.
And just, honestly, it's not as popular these days to talk about it, but it's Ukraine was also attacked. And Ukraine has a right to defend themselves.
Sure. Israel, none of my business.
Right. Israel has a right to defend itself. We have a much more close, they're much closer allies, we pointed out. But it doesn't mean we have to get in the middle of every one of these things. We do not have to be we don't need to be the world's policeman. We don't need to be monitoring every single one of these, back and forths. If it serves our interest, that is the line here. And even if it you know, the problem is they can always justify that. You know, this is the issue that we've hit over and over and over again. Everyone likes to claim it serves our interests. It really has to be direct. We should be trying to avoid these things as much as humanly possible. And our position right now seems to be the opposite of that. Just get into whichever one we can justify. And honestly, you know, there have been times, you know, you go back even, Iraq's a good example of this. We could justify what we did in Iraq. You could justify it. They were firing at our planes. We didn't have to do it, though. And that really should be where we design our foreign policy. Only when you absolutely have to engage in one of these things, you should, because it's always going to cost you treasure. It's always going to cost you blood. And it's always going to make the world a much more complicated place.
Yeah. So I want to, you know, when we talk about just how bad Hamas is as a terrorist organization, I mean, we see we've had verified now, they did really, really disgusting, despicable. I mean, these were war crimes, right? They went in, they murdered innocent civilians, they murdered innocent babies. You want to gripe about, bicker about how those babies were murdered. I'm really just upset that they're murdered. I don't need to bicker about exactly how they died. They were murdered in cold blood. Women were raped in the streets. They still have a bunch of Israeli hostages along with American hostages. I mean, we are talking about true evil. There's no disputing that, right? Okay, so imagine writing a headline, MAGA and Christian nationalism, bigger threat to America than Hamas could ever be. Salon.com. That's what you're gonna get over at Salon.com. MAGA and Christian nationalism, bigger threat to America than Hamas could ever be. Because I guess the idea that we have an open border and that anyone with any intention, bad or good or pure evil, from any place, from any region, by the way, because there are all sorts of people walking across an open border. The idea that someone who's involved in Hamas or Hezbollah or any other of these terrorist organizations could walk in, become a sleeper cell, plan a terrorist attack, embark on that terrorist attack, kill millions of Americans, still is not as serious as MAGA. Not as big of a threat as MAGA. This is what these people are telling you.
Well, if they universalize that position, it's Salon, they're a bunch of idiots, most of them socialistic idiots at that. So if they universalize the position and we're talking about leftists in government, I'd give them some sort of empathy because, yeah, at least right now, for the most part, those guys that you're talking about are on the other side of the world, and they're not necessarily here yet acting upon anything crazy. But I'd make the argument that they are. Folks that work at Salon, in terms of what they advocate, is more of a threat to national security, and certainly my pocketbooks, than Israelis or whoever you want to say, or I don't care. Just throw a name out there. Some conflict, Ukrainians and Russians or whatever. If we're going to talk about factual information, they're just trying to dumb down, of course, what's going on and put to their political enemy that's domestic and say you guys are a threat to us. But like I said, it's not a position that they actually universalize, as we have all sorts of acts of aggression, as well as Salon that has advocated for those acts of aggression throughout the course of the last few years, especially what happened in the Summer of Love in 2020. We made fun of a lot of their headlines and the stupid stuff it is that they would say in covering for leftists that were going around destroying private property and even killing people in some cases during the Summer of Love. So that's not a position that they universalize. People that are here, yeah, are more of a threat to folks over there, but I'd make the argument that folks like that write those articles are more of a threat as well.
Yeah, well, so let me give you a little bit more details here to your point, Eric. So not only is he saying that a Republican Party is a party of terrorists, not only is he saying if you're MAGA, you're a terrorist, but he also said in an earlier piece, this Brian Karam, he lashed out at Republican lawmakers who dared suggest that the unpopular 80-year-old Democrat president, Joe Biden, exuded weakness and helped set the stage for attacks on Israel, neglecting to touch upon the distinct possibility that Hamas got their arms from Joe Biden's F-ups in Afghanistan. So really, it's how dare you suggest that Joe Biden's weakness may have set the stage for all of these world conflicts, global conflicts. How dare you? How dare you point out that the guy is half dead? How dare you?
Yeah, I mean, it seems relevant, does it not?
Really?
I mean, because even just philosophically, I disagree with him. But at least if he was a competent leftist, leftist, maybe you'd have, I don't know, some hope. I don't have much hope when it comes to Biden. And, you know, this approach by the media is the same thing. It's a constant standard, right? It's like, you know, Mike Johnson was even worse than Kevin McCarthy. And Kevin McCarthy was even worse than Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan was even worse than John Boehner. And, you know, Donald Trump is even, you know, worse than Mitt Romney. But Mitt Romney was even worse than than John McCain. And John McCain was even worse than George W. Bush. And you can just go back and back and back. Every single new if DeSantis or Haley or somebody else wins, they will be worse than even Donald Trump. More dangerous. It's the same story every single time. And it's just a scare tactic, right? Like, we can analyze it a lot, and there are points to be made on every side of this. But, like, generally speaking, it's a scare tactic. They want to vilify the Christian right to make them seem like the worst people in the world. So whenever they compare them to someone else who might be considered the worst, I mean, I think Hamas is a good nominee for the worst people in the world. I mean, they'd be up there, they'd be on the list, they get a nomination at least. When you come up with that, well, just say the person who you're talking about and want to make the devil so people don't vote for them, make them even worse. Mm. It's a boring tactic, but that is Salon, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, Salon is, and there was a time where they at least attempted to be some sort of rational left-wing perspective. That time is a little, you know, decades gone at this point. They're just an insane failure of a blog at this point.
I was just looking. Yeah, he looks exactly how I thought that he would. Brian Karam. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with more, but we want to thank our sponsor this segment, Eden Pure. So if you have odors in your home that you can't get rid of, maybe you've got, you know, a zoo in your house like me, you got two dogs, two cats, a leopard gecko, which, boy, when your preteen boy tells you, I really want this lizard, I'm going to take care of it. Don't believe him. Do not believe him. Do you have any experience with that?
My son does happen to have a bearded dragon in his room. But, I don't think he doesn't do much cleaning, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But he loves the dragon a little bit.
Okay, well, this gecko in my house is now mine.
I'm
the only one who takes care of her. But anyway, so the thunderstorm is there for those of you who, like I said, maybe you got litter box, maybe you've got cigarette smoke, you got animals in your house, you cook cruciferous vegetables in your kitchen, and then the whole kitchen smells like a fart. Whatever the case may be, the thunderstorm starts working in seconds to clear the room of any odor. And there's no filters. It's just very simple. You just adjust the dial to minimum or maximum, whatever your preferences, and you get rid of that smell. They've had thousands of five-star reviews online, including mine, along with, I know, a lot of my viewers who have said that they have loved theirs. And right now, you can save $200 on three thunderstorms for whole home protection. That is three units for under $200. It even gets rid of skunk smells, guys. Don't ask me how I know it, because I have PTSD from that. You can go to EdenPureDeals.com. Enter discount code Sarah. That is EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code Sarah. Remember, there's no H. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code Sarah. Sam Bankman-Fried was found guilty last night of embezzling $10 billion of his client's money in what the prosecution said was one of the biggest financial frauds in American history. He now faces, at 31 years old, he faces up to 115 years in prison. It was seven counts against him. The jury reached their unanimous verdict in less than 5 hours. I know this says his parents were seen crying when they read the verdict. And I want to play the attorney for this case, the prosecution, after the guilty verdict. I want to play some of that. Watch.
Sam Bankman-Fried perpetrated one of the biggest financial frauds in American history, a multi-billion dollar scheme designed to make him the king of crypto. But here's the thing. The cryptocurrency industry might be new. The players like Sam Bankman-Fried might be new. But this kind of fraud, this kind of corruption is as old as time, and we have no patience for it. When I became U.S. attorney, I promised that we would be relentless in rooting out corruption in our financial markets. This is what relentless looks like.
And he was the second highest donor to the Democrat Party, I believe. So just behind George Soros, I think they're going to be missing that money. Let's go ahead and take a little flashback here to Sam Bankman-Fried on TikTok answering, how does it feel to be the richest person less than 30 in the world? Watch. Pretty cool, I guess. How many shirts do you own? All the clothes I can fit in my backpack. What motivated you? The book Doing Good Better. Get a copy mailed to you for free here. Doing Good Better. It doesn't sound like that's how he lived his life, and now he will face up to 115 years in prison.
That's tough.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
That's one way to put it.
That's tough. You know, look, what I hope doesn't end up happening out of this, because, yeah, he's an absolute, you know, fraud, and there was a lot of people that got in on it that don't seem to be punished, aren't going to be punished out of this, that have some decent names. Nonetheless, you know, when I hear people and they're, I get it, not this whole crypto, what people call it, isn't for everybody, and I totally understand that. What I fear is that they're going to use this man in order to try to demonize essentially everything, whether it be with Bitcoin and stuff that's more, that's actually legitimate, doesn't have some kind of head honcho manipulating money or whatever and trying to enrich themselves off of other people's bread. That's one thing that I fear comes out of this, because the ignorant person looks at a situation like this and hears a guy talking about crypto and they're like, well, this is just what it is, right? Mm-hmm. This is and like to his point, it is new. And because it's new, this is people that don't know any better are going to unfortunately look at that and maybe think that the whole entire thing is a fraud, and people that participate in that as such. So we'll see what happens.
Media is trying their hardest to make that happen, right? You know, the Times had a headline. Of course, they were one of the people who were praising him when he was donating.
Everybody
to Democrats.
Was.
They loved him, but they said, you know, the collapse of Sam Bankman-Fried, which exposed, you know, the entire crypto industry. And it's like, really, did it? I mean, because it exposed that company that went bankrupt. But like, I don't know, Coinbase still seems to be doing quite okay, and a bunch of other companies are as well. And that doesn't even talk about the fact that, like, crypto was never designed to have these gatekeepers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's supposed to be a trustless system.
That's the
whole exchange in and of itself is sort of antithetical to how it was created. Sam Bankman-Fried, though, is, I mean, look, it's an interesting character. I just finished the Michael Lewis book about him, Going Infinite, which came out a few weeks ago. And it's a pretty interesting read in that, like, my impression going into it was, like, 90% Bernie Madoff and 10% something else. And after reading it and kind of, you know, reading some other stuff on him, it's underplayed how incompetent he was. Like, it's sort of like, it's not that he didn't have, that he didn't break rules, because he did, and he broke lots of laws, and he did all sorts of things he shouldn't have done, and he should be going to prison. Mm-hmm. That being said, he also, like, had no idea what he was doing. He was a smart guy, but a very weird guy. A guy who got into crypto having almost no knowledge about it. He was a trader at another firm that had nothing to do with crypto, but just thought, okay, well, there's these big spreads in these markets all over the world. I can take advantage of that. Knew nothing about crypto. Intentionally didn't hire crypto people throughout the building of his exchange. At one point, and sometimes I like stories like this, but at one point, FTX was the second biggest crypto exchange in the world. And while Coinbase was third or fourth, Coinbase had 800 employees and FTX had 30. And it's like, well, now look, sometimes these, like, nice, you know, I mean, Coinbase is a pretty, you know, streamlined organization as well. And like 30 people to multiple billions of dollars they were trading all the time was a lot. And not to mention, they had money going back and forth between Alameda, that was the investment fund, and this. They broke all sorts of rules like that. But it, to me, reading his story was more about him thinking he could always cover himself. Like, it wasn't as much as, like, you know, he was famously moved out of a gigantic mansion in the Bahamas to live in, like, a hut.
Yeah.
Like, he was not a, it wasn't a Bernie Madoff situation exactly. It's a little bit different. The end game, though, of course, should be the same. He did commit many, many crimes. And to the point I think you're getting at too, Eric, where some of his coworkers did things that were just as bad and seemingly worse. And because they testified against him, they get minor penalties and he's going to get this major one. Now, he deserves the major one, but they probably do too. The same thing happened with Enron. Andrew Fastow did almost all the damage, with a bunch of these laws. He's out. He got out of prison. You know, he didn't have the penalties that Skilling did or Ken Lay did. So I just think that, like, this happens over and over again. Our justice system says, hey, you second and third in charge, the people that no one knows their names, that you might have committed all those crimes. If you just testify against the guy everybody knows, we'll let you off. And I don't think that's a weird function of our justice system.
You know, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the time in prison that he faces, because that's horrible what he did with other people's money. However, it is fascinating to me how serious these crimes are taken. When I read the headlines all the time, there's like, you know, rapists who get off with really light sentences. I mean, people committing really heinous either sex crimes or violent crimes. I mean, you have people who are won't even get prosecuted in Democrat cities. They're getting let out of prison. They're, you know, like they don't have to put up bail. And then they go on to kill more people. And it's just really fascinating to me that the government takes financial crimes, it seems to me, way more seriously than, I guess, at least you could say in blue states or blue cities than they take like violent crimes or sex crimes. Do you think that that's just because of the difference between the federal level and the state level? It's just weird.
It's hard to say.
Or maybe you disagree with the premise. I don't know.
No,
but it seems to be a pattern to me.
No, I think once you definitely start dealing with that kind of money, they'll try to bring the hammer down. I just think they're more selective in who they pick and choose.
They just need like a fall guy.
Who they pick and choose.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely if they can demonize them. Because to your point, like we look at donors or people that were breaking bread with him, you know, they all turned on him pretty quickly. And he became just basically public enemy number one. And again, rightfully so, is Stu's point. Yeah. I mean, if he's doing all these bad things. But I do love what you bring up, because that's a great point, that maybe other things aren't punished as much, but they needed some money to fall back on.
Yeah, and it really highlights, too, like, the reaction to him. I mean, when you look at the details of how this company was built. For example, this is a tech company, right? Mm-hmm. They had one guy writing all the code, and no one else in the company knew how to write the code, knew how he did it. So, like, I mean, think of this as a company structure. It's insanity. Like, what if this guy gets hit by a bus? They would have had no idea.
Right.
There's stuff like that all the time. And, like, you know, from an outside perspective, you're watching a Larry David commercial, you're like, oh, you choose FTX, or I'll choose, you know, instead of Coinbase. Who cares? But, like, business reporters were fawning over this guy. Anybody who looked into him at all would have realized, not necessarily that he was committing crimes, but that he was not some brilliant business person who had a real plan here. And they were constantly fooled, or at least they allowed themselves to be fooled, right? They wanted the story to be true. They loved the guy who's playing video games while he's on conference calls, and he's got his crazy hair, and he's giving all this money to Democrats. He must be a good guy. Mm-hmm. When in reality, if they looked at all, if they had any critical thinking at all, they would have caught this much, much earlier, and a lot of people would have been saved from losing their life savings.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. We will be back with more after we thank our sponsor, Preborn. So, look, Roe versus Wade was overturned, and that was awesome news. But we still have a lot of work to do, because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the left has become just kind of more ravenous to abort innocent babies. And what Preborn does that's so important is that Preborn protects the most innocent among us, which is, of course, babies in their mother's womb. They do this by positioning all of their clinics. They're positioned in the highest abortion areas. They're often right next door to these abortion mills, where unspeakable evil takes place every single day. And what Preborn does is, it's very simple. Once a woman who goes in, she's scared, she doesn't know how she's gonna make it work, she doesn't, you know, her loved ones have abandoned her, and she's shown an ultrasound of the baby that's inside her, showing her it's not a clump of cells, it's actually a real baby, and it's your baby. it's so much more often that she chooses life. And every time a baby's saved, which happens 200 times a day, good is taking one step forward to conquering evil. So please, please, would you consider giving a generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls over at Preborn? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that will double a baby's chance at life. You can donate securely by dialing #250 and say the keyword baby, or you can go to preborn.com/Sarah. There is no H in that. That's preborn.com/Sarah.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Loudoun County High School students staged a walkout on Wednesday demanding that the district restore girls-only and boys-only restrooms and locker rooms. Now, this is obviously in Virginia, and this particular one is Woodgrove High School. This is policy 8040 that allows non-binary and trans-identifying individuals to use the restroom and locker room facilities that align with their gender identity rather than their biology. Now, it's fascinating to watch the students, the children become the adults in this matter, because it's a matter that I know we've covered exhaustively here on this show, but also it's just common sense that not only are you talking about, biology, but you're also talking about boys who have hormone levels at like sky high, okay? To think that that wouldn't be abused so that they can go and get a peep show in the girls' locker room is ridiculous. I want to play a male student speaking to reporters, talking about the invasion of privacy when it comes to allowing this transgender policy in these women's and men's spaces. Watch.
In the locker rooms in the morning, it's an invasion of privacy, as I said, because when men and natural-born males are in our locker rooms and they are showering in the morning, natural-born females can walk in there as they please and as they want to do so. And that is not okay, and it goes against what we believe in.
So to his point, females, also hormones, very high. I want to play this other student here talking about how uncomfortable he feels he would feel changing after football practice. Watch.
I want to be able to, when I get off of football practice, to go put my pads away and change with not feeling uncomfortable with other genders in there watching me. Especially, I feel the girls should feel the same way about the situation. How would you feel if you're a female changing with a male in the restroom?
It's a massive safety risk, right? And they don't do anything about it. And we express these concerns, and they ignore us and write us off as right-wing crazies. We're not crazy. We just don't want to be in danger on a daily basis in this building.
Now,
sensible.
Right, it is. And I commend these students for what they're doing and for standing up for their own rights. It is a little worrisome to me that I didn't, maybe the parents were in the background, but I'm like, why are the parents not showing up to this as well? Why is it the students that are taking this head on? Because you'd like to see the parents. I know there's been a lot that's gone on in Loudoun County. But you would like to see the parents show up and push back at a time like this as well. One of those situations where I feel like I also know what Eric is about to say.
Well, yeah, why are they there? How about walk all the way out?
Exactly.
What I mean? Like, that would be my preference.
Get your kids the hell out of public schools.
I've said it a million times, and this is just yet another example, because you have your children are smarter than the people, or at least the administration that is supposedly looking after them while you're at work doing your thing. So they do sound a lot more rational than what some blue-haired crazy that probably worked for the administration that facilitated this actually being implemented into their schools. It's such a nonsensical policy by itself, but especially something that's being put upon a group of youth that shouldn't even be like worrying about this type of stuff. This shouldn't even be of concern. It was not of concern when we were growing up. This is to even think about that is hard to believe, you know, putting yourself in when we were in high school and thinking like that. Mm-hmm. That's the conversation now. Yeah, that's how crazy things have got these days. I mean, I wasn't that far removed from being in high school, but it goes to show how quick this thing accelerated. And now you have the people that are entrusting these adults to lead them down a more of a righteous path, at least preserving their innocence in some sort of way. And now you feel like you're smarter than them, because to that young girl's point, she's like, they write us off like we're crazy when we're just explaining to them just basic stuff. And that's sad.
Which to add to your point, Eric, I mean, I said there's been a lot that's happened in Loudoun County. In 2021, there was a female that was sexually assaulted by a male wearing a skirt in the bathroom. Like, it's not just conjecture. It's not just them predicting that this might happen. It has happened in the past. That's what they can point to and say, this is literally happening. We're not right-wing crazies. This happened, and we don't want it to happen to anyone else.
It's very true. And, you know, I think you think about these type of topics. We talk about stuff all the time. And there's a couple different ways you care about them, right? Like, sometimes you care about them on a personal level. Sometimes you care about them on a societal level. I watch things like this, and I care about them on a societal level. I feel bad for these kids who are in the middle of the situation, and it's not their choosing. On a personal level, it doesn't affect me that much. Why? Because, as you point out, my kids don't go to public school. Yeah. I don't have to worry about this. If my kids' school starts doing something like this, I will take them out, and I will go to another school immediately. It's a good time to remind everyone, at least here in Texas, that we're in the middle of a fight over school choice, where I should not be taxed twice to send my kids to school, which is the current situation. Yes. And of course, you know, school choice exists already for people who have the money to do it, right? And it's unfortunate that people who don't have that money get forced into schools like this. And to highlight how crazy this is and how fast this has changed, in 2009, India passed a series of policies to modernize their schooling system. You know, people were like, we're stuck in the dark ages here. Let's get the basics here done. And they did a bunch of different things. One of the planks, 2009, of this to modernize their school system was to guarantee gender-specific restrooms.
That was a year after I graduated.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That was the first year that they said, hey, definitely you're going to have a women's restroom and a men's restroom. We are going in reverse here, guys. We are going back to pre-2009 India, and that is not the right direction, even according to India.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at some point you believe that common sense is going to win out in these situations. It feels too slow. And if you happen to have a 14-year-old girl who's going to one of these schools, it doesn't matter really to you personally if it changes in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. What matters is
now. That's a good point.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And I know, Eric's going to share my sentiment here. I know that people, because we bitch about public schools all the time, and I'm going to say something like, at the very least, if you all band together and pull your kids out, they will make the changes because they won't get the funding if the kids are not attending. But people will go, well, but I work and I can't figure it. I promise you can figure it out. It may mean making a sacrifice you don't want to make.
Not for your kids, Sarah, then for who?
I know. I that's what I'm saying. It may mean making a sacrifice. It may mean giving up something else over here. But I also think there are, just to prove a point, it's not just private school you can send them to. There are a lot of misconceptions about homeschool.
Absolutely.
I have done it. I can speak from experience. It's not an 8-to-5 thing. Like, they want you to send your kids to indoctrination camps, you know, from 8 to 3:30. My kids, well, one kid, the other one was an infant. I mean, an hour and a half, and we were done. So
you're actually working on working.
Yes,
rather than
exactly.
Screwing around and walking from class to class
exactly.
and taking attendance.
Yes.
Like, the attendance is easy in that situation.
It really
it's
is.
It's just them. That's
right.
It. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And they're already in my house. So it's very easy.
Yeah.
So I just would encourage people. I just feel like you give away your power so easily to the government and to government indoctrination camps. And it just really doesn't have to be that way. All right. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. But we want to thank our sponsor first, MyBookie. So I have noticed Stu's shirt today. And it has not made me very happy.
America's team right here, Philadelphia Eagles.
If you want to bet against the Eagles, you can do that at MyBookie, which, you know, it's fun betting on your favorite sports teams. And it can be profitable when you have a good sense of what you're doing. So that's where a good sports book can come in handy. But how do you know you're choosing the right one? When your money is on the line, you need to trust you need to choose a trusted sports book that gives you the tools to win, like MyBookie, where it doesn't matter if your team is up or down. You can easily cash out or bet the game live to come out on the winning side. You can use it for a daily odds boost, same game parlays, and take advantage of really big prize pool contests. Plus, MyBookie has a no strings attached cash bonus that lets you deposit and withdraw quickly. You can use promo code NEWS on your first deposit, receive up to $200 in cash. That is promo code NEWS to claim your cash bonus now. Try the MyBookie money bag to grab a potential Super Bowl frontrunner at long shot odds. You can go to mybookie.com, promo code NEWS. All right, it's Friday, and we haven't gotten to a Dear Sarah in a while, so we're going to do one. Remember, you can send us your, I don't know, you need advice, and Dear Abby's dead, so you can send us whatever you want answered over at DearSarah@TheBlaze.com.
I'm totally sending one next week.
Oh, gosh. I regret this already.
I have some questions.
I regret this already. So Tired Dad says, Joe Biden says I'm better off than I was under Donald Trump. This is insane. I worked 48 hours a week when Trump was in office, and due to the low cost of fuel and food, things were getting better for the first time in years. Middle class Americans, I think, for the first time in decades, felt hope. Real hope. I saw myself starting to save money even with two kids in high school. Now, I currently have only my daughter in school, and she's a senior with college looming shortly. For the first time in 11 years, my company has told me I'm not allowed to work overtime. This cost me around $1,000 a month. After being forced for several months to use a credit card to buy food and pay my utilities, I've taken on a second job working another 30 hours a week on the weekends just to be able to buy food with actual money, hopefully. I live cheaply. I'm working 7 days a week and 70 hours a week. I'm honestly worried I'll live in my car by this time next year. What are your thoughts? I'm almost 58 years old, by the way. Does this sound like I'm living the American dream? I love Blaze and I love your show. You guys keep us going. Keep up the good fight. It's really, really like enraging and upset and frustrating hearing people. There's so many people around this country with stories like this, and it doesn't have to, it didn't have to be this way, right? It didn't have to be this way. These are direct consequences of Joe Biden's horrible policies and actions. And no, it doesn't sound like you're living the American dream. This isn't what America was supposed to be. I would say I am hopeful that this election we can turn things around. But Donald Trump is going to need to figure out how to rein in spending, because that was also a problem with him. I am hopeful, though, that, you know, while there are a lot of Americans who share this this issue, I think hopefully if we actually share this frustration with these people we have elected into power, we've got to all be telling them, we've got to all be putting the pressure on them to change these policies around before it's too late. We've got about a minute if you guys want to give any final thoughts.
Well,
that's
what has to happen. People have to understand why that is the case. I mean, I think if people are now feeling it, their pockets are being hit by it, and they just need to understand where that stuff stems from.
Right.
It doesn't matter what they have next to their name. You brought up the spending efforts. Those have been terrible. They've been atrocious, and it's only gotten worse, and your last president had a lot to do with it. I'm spending a crazy amount of time. This is what happened during 2020. Crazy amount of money during a time of economic inactivity. Mm-hmm. That was a recipe for absolute disaster, and we're still going to be feeling that for going forward. So the only way to turn this back is for them to rein it in. For the Federal Reserve, I would argue, needs to be completely eliminated. May not get that at minimum, be audited. But you have to understand why your money isn't going this far.
Yeah, Stu, last one.
Bidenomics strikes back, right? Mm-hmm. This is what it is. We actually made shirts, the Bidenomics strikes back shirts, available at StuDoesMerch.com. Remember, I have to put my kids through private school, so please buy some. It's true. This is the fact. This is what is going on. And the fact that Joe Biden has taken responsibility for it by calling it Bidenomics is the biggest gift to any Republican candidate we've ever seen. They better take advantage of this, because, I mean, it's going to be hard to screw up, frankly.
Yeah.
They'll figure out a way.
Yeah. But let your voice be heard. Do not give up. Put the pressure on them. It's the only way to get things done. And we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
right, a new viral video has reignited a debate over airplane etiquette. I want to play this woman who is fighting with the passenger behind her on an airplane because she had put her seat back. Here is some of that.
The whole trip, she pushed my seat. I'm allowed to put my seat back.
All right, you're flying in an airplane in coach. Are you allowed to put your seat back?
You are, of course, allowed to put your seat back. However, I never put my seat back
because I've
seen people in front of me put their seat back, and usually they just flies back, and my drink almost spills on me, and I can't. It hits my knees and everything else. So I would advise against it. I mean, the fact that the button's there to recline it, I think makes it seem that you'd be allowed to do it. But as a courtesy, unless you absolutely have to, I try to avoid it.
You're allowed to do it. It just you're probably an asshole, but you're allowed to be an.
There's two of them, Eric.
There were 20 seconds left, and I blew it. Eric, final words.
I can't relate. I don't fly coach anymore.
Oh,
Mr. my God!
Over here.
Oh, of course.
Oh, get to the private runway.
Flew business class one time. Said I'm never flying coach again.
Oh my gosh! I want to come up with a comic book.
Hey.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.